This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Looking at the materials that you're exploring here, looking at possible drones. So wouldn't that possibly hint that maybe that's something from another country, maybe?
Well, it is. I mean, we have drone technologies that are going on across the globe and a lot of advances in drone technologies by our adversaries. They're spending a lot of money on it, you know, and so consequently, we've got to be able to figure out how we're going to deal when we, let's say you've got 180 drones coming at you and how you knock them out of the sky, or what are you going to do? Drone swarms. You have technologies in terms of drones that have a lot of sensors and capabilities on them to be able to listen to your conversation, hang over your house and see you thermally, you know, through your house. So that's a threat. I'm working in the DoD. In fact, one of the projects I've got on the Spectrum side is to work, we're actually installing across the DoD drone killing devices and drone detecting systems. So now we're going at it full force and putting those out there, because guess what? You have to discriminate whether it is a drone or whether you like to think of it as maybe like a Tic Tac or some sort of an unknown object, right? And how do you know, the difference between those two things and where they differ? And so you have to still be able to protect all of your assets, your people, your base, your intellect, and everything else. At the same time, you need to be able to discriminate, is this really a drone or an adversary? Well, where is it from? Whose is it? What are they trying to get from us? At the same time, you want to also be able to figure out, well, maybe if it's not a drone, maybe it is a Tic Tac or, you know, some sort of an object that you can't explain like that. So you'll hear the DoD talk about it from the context of drones and a lot of the adversaries, because they really don't know. And these things get misreported as being, you know, like, you know, UFOs, right? So until you really know, you can't do anything with it. But, you know, that's what we have to be able to do to protect our country and our resources and our technology and our intelligence.
Well, a drone, therefore, would be an IFO, not a UFO, because it is identified as a drone. We just have to figure out which country might be sending them over. And then we understand that's one particular issue of great importance. But can't they shoot one of these things down and look at the technology and figure it out?
First off, you don't want to shoot it down because, you know, ultimately, you know, you could be blowing up what you want to be able to look at. You know, I mean, the idea is drone killing systems, you know, you're basically taking over and you're using, you know, some sort of either, you know, like a microwave kind of thing, or you're looking at possibly taking it over from an electromagnetic standpoint. You could also GPS spoof it and make it, you know, if you would think that it's somewhere else. Or anyway, you have all these things, abilities. The systems we're putting in would allow us to be able to also detect where the operator is at, which might be a person that's miles away and off post. So all those kind of things you want to be able to do to be able to figure that out and where they're at and what they're using, and learn about the drone. But, you know, taking, you know, a gazillion pieces over to somebody to re-engineer it is going to be a little bit of a problem.
But here, do you have any picture or guesstimate as to the percentage of the cases, like, for example, the Pentagon's UAP programs of their various names and iterations? What percentage of those are drones, possibly known objects, as opposed to things we can't figure out yet?
Let me put it to you this way, Gene. They're subject to the same misinterpretations as anybody else's, right? If you have a strange, odd balloon, for example, that's up at, you know, somehow it gets up to 30,000 feet, you still have to figure it out, and that doesn't mean that it's UFO. You might have some sort of other kind of thing that's up in the air that are misidentified by pilots. And also you have systems that might have errors or kind of like, you know, technology issues with them, and that's what's causing them. So it's hard to tell. You have to report them all. In the case of the report to Congress, they said that they provided up, I guess, what, 100, and now it's up to 140 some odd cases. The vast majority of them they could explain. But I will also say that there's probably things that they could explain that if they open up and they start getting all these reports, they're going to get them just no different than it would be if I were reporting them to MUFON. And if you know that, then you know that 70 to 80% of those cases are IFOs after they're investigated and somebody figures out that it's really not a UFO. And so, you know, bottom line is you still need to do the legwork and really identify what it is. And if you can't explain it, then it's going to be an unknown after you've tested all these different hypotheses that said that it might be an IFO. And the military is going to be subject to that as well.
But looking at the UFO or the UAP, if we can say this is an unknown, we have no idea what it is, it doesn't fit into any of the categories. It's not a drone. It's not a test aircraft. It's not natural phenomena. It's not something that we know or can identify readily. This is the unknown, the mystery. What's your thought about what that might be?
Well, again, let me put it to you this way. An unknown means I can't identify it as anything but known. Well, do I know about everything that our adversaries are building, putting up, classified things that they do? No. So there's going to be a proportion of those cases that are likely to be some other kind of classified or some bizarre kind of thing that we just don't know what the heck it is, right? We can't match it up with anything. It doesn't mean that unknown is from outer space or where it's from. In fact, we don't even know where the origin of any of these things are, right? So it's not like that there's a license plate on the back of these objects saying I'm from wherever. And, you know, it's not like when they leave at hypersonic speeds that you know where it decided to go land. So consequently, did it land at all? I mean, did it go into the water? Is there something on the water? We don't really know. We think that maybe water is a connection point. But then we've seen objects that have just vaporized into nothingness. And then we've seen objects that come and materialize out of nowhere, you know. And so you've got those kind of reports. So that's not an easy answer to say. And so we don't know the origin of any of the UFOs, you know, at all in terms of the ones we investigate.
In passing, when you talk about license plates, I used to have a car years ago, a Honda, with the license plate number 3MIB.
Guess what mine is?
Lay it on me.
It's UFO XPRT, UFO expert.
Yes.
So I got that on mine, and it usually causes a lot of, like, you know, it's either you Foxpert or somebody that does get it will come up and say, hey, I saw one of those things, you know, and you'll get a conversation going.
This is the second time I had MIB in the license plate. This was a Honda, very reliable car. But years ago, I had a Pontiac, a red Pontiac with an MIB license plate. It was the worst car I ever owned. Within 1,000 miles, the transmission had to be rebuilt because it leaked all the oil out of it. And one day I couldn't get the car to move. But I took another chance on the Honda many years later, and it worked out fine. That might be because the Pontiac was not a well-built car. Kurt, you had a question.
Well, so the concern there about all these different organizations in the military, I hope that they're sharing information. You know, in the past, different UFO organizations had big rivalries, and apparently MUFON still has some of that now. But, you know, how do we, you know, is there any way to make sure that they're not doing, you know, reinventing the wheel and just wasting a lot of time with the basics? And how are they sharing information?
So let me go and say that they're still organizing. I mean, if you saw the congressional hearings, you heard them say that they haven't even got a lot of processes in place. You know, the Title 10 and the Title 50 organizations have to get their act together in terms of having people that will, you know, take reports, collect them, somehow get them up in some sort of a database, if you would, somewhere in the sky. It'll probably be, you know, going to NASIC at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Let's have that definition. in our next segment with Gene, Kurt, and Richard in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter-producer. You're listening to Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Define our terms. What at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base?
Well, the organization that used to exist was Foreign Technology Division, and it's the new organization after that. It's the National Air and Space Intelligence Center, NASIC, and that is like the 2.0 version of FTD, but it's now including space intelligence and a whole bunch of other things. So anyway, that organization, will, if you read about them and what their role is going to be largely where a lot of the data, the information will come in, and the investigations will ensue. And that's going to be the pretty much the lead organization for collecting the information, bringing it in. And then that will go to the ASMOG. I guess that's how you want to say it. That's the organization that I told you about. And then they would be the ones that would actually, you know, determine what they're going to do with it and then how they're going to get it up to Congress and have their meetings. I'm glad on one hand that they're going to be basically trying to bring this all under one kind of like umbrella, if you would. But there's still going to be a lot of like discontinuity, and like NASA's engaging now, you know, and got a project. They don't have to report up to that organization. They probably will, but they don't have to. So they got their own study going on. So this is going to create a little bit of stovepipes in terms of some reporting kinds of things. I don't know that, you know, necessarily that they're going to give you all their tactics and methods, because that will be classified. And so sources, tactics, and methods are typically something that they keep classified. So they're not going to talk about that. So ultimately, we could get something on the scale of like, well, we had X number of reports, kind of like what Blue Book did. Blue Book gave like a periodic quarterly reports or something of that nature that said, well, here's what we got. We got this number of cases going on. These are the ones we did. We investigated. And that's about all you're going to probably get. There's a hope that they'll get more transparent, but I sincerely doubt it. And I think it's largely because of the missions that they had, the type of equipment that they used to be able to do whatever they did, that they just don't want to let on to other governments.
I've got a sort of a follow-up question to that. So you mentioned Blue Book. Now, the Air Force had just been set up in 1947, and it was drawn. A lot of the investigators were military pilots. And now they did have Dr. J. Allen Hynek and some other scientific consultants that they used as needed. But what would you like to see in today's research, and what consultants should they be drawing on? You know, what their skill sets are needed to really crack the problem?
Well, that's a good one, Kurt, because as you very well know, that, you know, the government is basically, you know, got funding a whole bunch of contractors that are very capable scientists and very much able to do a lot of research on their own. So consequently, they don't necessarily have to go outside of the DOD to be able to get scientists to look at that. You got the Sandia Labs. You got a whole host of other things. And so consequently, you know, you've got a lot of those people. What we'd like to see is them to embrace and share information with universities, colleges, and things like that, much like they're doing right now, by the way, in terms of weapons development. They work with colleges. They do a lot of the research and development with colleges. And we're hoping that they can look at us as well. And at one point, us and Project Galileo were listed as being on a committee working with the Gillibrand Amendment. But they listed SCU as being one of the organizations that they would work with. And we're hoping that that's going to be maybe something that we can still iron out. And our relationships that we're building now with all these other players, including, you know, the Space Command, we also already are in contact with NASA. We're already in contact with a whole host of our other parties and wanting to be able to help them to get their understanding of UFOs down and let them know that we're as an organization, willing to work with them.
When you talk about NASA, NASA is apparently going to establish its own UAP program starting this fall.
Yes.
And the interest in that was expressed by NASA's head, former U.S. Senator Bill Nelson. And the thing that's interesting here is the first thing they say is, no, there's no evidence that UAPs are spaceships. But NASA, which is involved in space exploration, is investigating UAPs. Is there a contradiction of terms?
Well, I think, you know, there might be a contradiction if you want to look at it that way. I think that ultimately it's a situation where, I mean, nobody really knows or has the answers to this thing. And so consequently, you have to go dig into it and you have to really look into it and find out, well, what's legit, what's not legit, and really do that hard digging. And until you get scientists engaged in it, you're hard-pressed to really have anybody that can give you a good, solid opinion on it. And nobody wants to risk their neck by saying, well, they're aliens, you know? You know, not until they have proof.
Well, that's the question I would have then. They say there's no proof, but they don't define proof. What constitutes proof? Well, capturing UFO, capturing ET, what is proof?
Sure. Well, I mean, that would be extremely helpful if you had some sort of an object's piece, if you had the object itself, if you had something that showed clearly that it doesn't have isotopes from anywhere around here, that might be, or it's got some sort of like metal that actually has some properties that you can't begin to build on Earth. That would be helpful in terms of proving something, but we don't have that. And even the materials that we've got collected right now have got problems with it in the sense that we don't know where the chain of custody is in terms of how it was handled and who got it and where it was actually from. So all this talk about the metamaterials and everything else like that is, you know, on the upside, is just really, really problematic for us. So you have to have controlled ways of doing things. And a lot of controlled methods of collecting data and information are not there yet, and they aren't defined. And so consequently, you got scientists who are not going to engage and say something like that until they've got rock solid evidence. Look at how they balked at the idea of water on Mars, right? You know, I mean, or any kind of evidence at all. And they balked on that until they actually had solidifying proof of that. And they're going to do the same thing here with the UAP program, which they've not been funded in the past to do and really have shown disinterest in, except maybe airbrushing something like a photo. but, I mean, you know, ultimately that's the kind of thing you're dealing with NASA. So they're going to get ramped up. They've got two physicists that are going to be getting on board, trying to set up a way that they can collect the information and do that. They'll be able to utilize satellites that NASA has that we don't often get to work, Earth-observing satellites. And they can do all kinds of things spectrally that we can't. And so it's going to be extremely beneficial to us overall to get that kind of thing nailed down.
I would think, however, that based on the criteria for evidence, that's something we may never be able to prove. We can't capture a saucer. I'll ask about Roswell in our next segment. We don't have any other solid proof of what they are. ET is not landing, and if they are landing, we don't have evidence of it. It's anecdotal. So it would almost imply that this is something that, short of some action on their part, if there is an intelligence, we could never prove. Rich, Gene, and Kurt, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Children under 5 can now get vaccinated for COVID-19. The CDC has given final approval for doses for 19 million young children. The endorsement from CDC Director Rochelle Walensky was for two vaccines, one by Moderna, the other by Pfizer and its partner BioNTech. Though deaths in young children are relatively uncommon compared to adults, COVID is a leading cause of death among children and adolescents, according to the CDC. One firefighter has died after being trapped in a building that caught fire, then collapsed, in Philadelphia early Saturday morning. Four other firefighters and an inspector with the city's licenses and inspections department were also trapped at the time of the collapse. Everyone was pulled out at various times. The firefighter who died was pronounced at the scene. The others were taken to the hospital. The deceased was a 27-year veteran of the department. This is USA Radio News. A state court decision has reversed a ruling made 4 years ago in regards to abortion rights.
Iowa Supreme Court ruled Friday that abortion rights are not protected by the state's constitution, a move that paves the way for lawmakers to ban future abortions in the Hawkeye state. The court reported, quote, "All we hold today is that the Iowa Constitution is not the source of a fundamental right to an abortion, necessitating a strict scrutiny standard of review for regulations affecting that right," end quote. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pryor.
The jury in a civil trial against actor and comedian Bill Cosby will have to start all over again on Monday. That's due to several unusual circumstances, including a juror being allowed to leave, then the courthouse being cleared at 4:30 because there's no overtime for sheriff's deputies. An alternate will be seated when the panel starts over again. The case centers around an accusation that Cosby sexually assaulted Judy Huth at the Playboy Mansion in 1975 when she was 16 years old. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I know Kurt has a question pending, but before he goes into that, Rich, would you go along with me about that, that when it comes to UAPs, UFOs, flying saucers, unless there is something that we can pick up or capture, we'll never have evidence?
Well, I would say it would certainly help, but there are other ways you can get evidence. For example, we know that there's something potentially out there, and scientists will accept that there's that 5% of the visible universe we understand, but there's like 95% of it, which is made up or composed of things that we can't see, which is dark matter, dark energy, and we haven't got any concept about. And there's evidence that it exists, and we kind of accept that, we go along with that, but we still don't have any kind of proof on that. Theoretically, we imply that there might be a Higgs boson, and it took us a long time to be able to find it, but we finally found that there was something like that there. So, again, you know, there's a lot of study that goes into saying that you're going to make a claim that it's this or that, and you've got to do all that rock-hard science to do that. And so it might take a while, but you might get it in other ways. You might get it from the standpoint of you've got spectral analysis that you've done. You clearly see some sort of capabilities like the Nimitz thing where it's defying physics, if you would, where you drop from 20,000 feet and stop above sea level in 0.78 seconds, and you actually captured that with some sort of a device, and you got that, that's pretty good evidence, which is why the attitudes are suddenly changing with scientists.
We had a couple of questions from the Paracast Forum. One was from Richard Hawkins, and he wanted to ask about the case that inspired you, the Socorro, New Mexico case from 1964. He says, Lonnie Zamora never changed his story over the years, but is it possible this was an experimental government craft and the figures he saw were simply operators in protective coverings?
Let me put it to you this way, that there's right now, with Kenneth Arnold's case alone, There are 14 other, like according to Bruce McAbee, and he wrote a book on it, there are like 14 competing hypotheses trying to explain that case. Everybody comes out with a, you know, another kind of like explanation of what it could be. And it's almost like trying to reinvent history. And we like to do that. Could it be anything else other than a craft from somewhere else? Sure. Maybe it was. Is there compelling evidence that it was like some, that we know which company had built the craft and set it down there? And do we know that on that particular date that there were these two little dwarf-like people that were in it? You know, until we get that kind of evidence for the competing hypothesis, it's pointless. We can speculate all we want, and it's not going to get anywhere scientifically at all. The point is that he saw something he couldn't explain, and that even when some degree of analysis was performed on it, that they left scratching their heads and saying that they could not identify it. Maybe I'm pointing to you and saying that even with the Aguadilla case, maybe there's an explanation, but we have yet to see anybody make a compelling case with there being an alternate explanation, and it still remains something unknown. And so I think you're going to have this kind of thing where allegedly there was somebody, there was a professor or did something with, you know, some kids or something like that. I don't know. But I will say this much. It influenced me to the point where I felt that I needed to learn more and study it. And it actually led me into sciences overall as an interest.
That's interesting. We've talked to some other people that have also been drawn into science and education for understanding. But getting back to the witness himself, so, you know, there's this idea of stigma. Now, I think the press always treated Lonnie Zamora with respect, but I understand he was met with some local ridicule and jokes, and he didn't take that very well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, what's notorious throughout UFO history is the fact that, you know, like in 1973, I had a case, for example, with a police officer by the name of Bob Bales, I think, Bob Bales. Anyway, Bob was on a case where he was out looking and actually took a photo. It ended up on the front pages of the National Enquirer. Bob Pratt put it up there. And it basically, ultimately, the attention wrecked his career. And then you have Deputy Dale Spar, who also in Ohio went through a case where they were chasing it, and it basically wrecked his career, wrecked his marriage. And it impacted in terms of Lonnie Zamora. He got a lot of wonderful letters saying how wonderful it was and how exciting. But at the same time, there's that whole back dialogue with the professional world and the people, the stigma. It was hard on him, and I hate to see that. But there's that kind of like thing out there where you don't bring up the subject. You don't acknowledge the fact that you've even seen one. I've given many, many lectures over my lifetime. And I'm always like, you know, asking, you know, how many of you have ever seen one? And you get people that raise their hands occasionally, you know, here and there. And then, well, how many of you reported it? And like nobody in the room raises their hand. So it was never reported. And so, you know, back in the days when I was with Hynek and them, they used to talk about one in every 12 cases are reported. Well, I'd say it's more like about one in every 21,000 cases are reported.
Well, you know, this case, I don't know if there's any data to work with, but with the advances in technology, do you think there are any classic cases that deserve a second look with maybe what, you know, is there something we can use either, like you mentioned GPS technology now, so like the spatial relationships or anything that we could apply to these classic cases maybe to get more useful information?
Yeah, that's another good question, Kurt. I mean, the situation there is you're looking at, you know, a lot of witnesses are dead. You're talking about, you know, like negative film or something like that from a box brownie camera, or you're looking at something like that, you know, and so the problem you have is you can use newer technologies sometimes. Sometimes the newer technologies can't even begin to look and evaluate old kind of like data like that. But you have also, you know, things like over a period of time, negatives disintegrate and go bad. And so you're talking about wanting to dredge up a case and try to see if you can apply newer eyes on it. And yet you don't have, like, you know, the company that might have been there that did, for example, created this object that landed in front of Lonnie Zamora has long since ceased, you know, and you're now trying to do a record search to find out, well, what could it have been? And, you know, it's not there. Let me clarify that the cases that I did in MUFON from the time that I joined up until, you know, like, I guess when they developed their database are still in paper form and in boxes, and nobody's even been able to see the cases that I did, including me. So there's that evidence in terms of record retention that's a problem. Again, like I pointed out, the witnesses have changed their version over a period of their history. They have different views now than they did back then. Humans are fallible, and you have no way of checking things out. So I don't know that there's any value in that, other than the fact that you're better off sticking with where you've got data now that's coming from more advanced equipment that you can actually do something with, and now being able to figure out how these objects maneuver, what they do, whether there's a field around them, whether there's something up that you can detect about them, and that's what we need to be really focusing the few people that want to do this investigation and focusing their attention on.
So we're given the impression that the government's investigation and Avi Loeb's Project Galileo are not interested in these historical cases. And I understand why, from a search perspective. The data is cold. There's probably nothing else to uncover.
You've got Kurt and Rich and Gene, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Kurt, you were in the middle of phrasing a question there. Why don't you go on with it?
We've got these new investigations from the government and Avi Loeb's Project Galileo, and they're not interested in historical cases. They only want new instrumentation and examining what technology can detect now. That's okay, but there have been a lot of valuable mistakes made by ufology, and don't they risk repeating those if they don't study the history?
Well, I mean, that's kind of like what we wanted to share with, like, Project Galileo. We actually reached out to them, and there's a number of us that are actually attending the meetings and are part of them. But, I mean, we were looking to be able to share what, you know, a lot of us, like me and a couple others that are in this for a long, long time, with what we've uncovered and what we've done and how not to make mistakes. And we're trying to do the same thing, by the way, with the government people. We'd like to be able to help them to advance a little bit quicker, maybe get to their answers a little bit more by considering those things. I thought, you know, one of those, like, major mistakes, if you would, is that you're having a session with congressional leaders and you're in talking to, you know, people with intelligence fields, and you're asked the question about, well, what about, you know, Roswell, or what about the before Blue Book? And, you know, it was very readily apparent that the two people were either ill-briefed or didn't know about it, but they didn't know the history. And so they couldn't address those kinds of things and say it would answer them with specific. Why wouldn't you be concerned about the fact that these things are hanging over nuclear bases? And why wouldn't you know that? So, yes, we want to be able to make sure that they understand history. And we do want them to not be able to, you know, make the same mistakes and improve on it and advance past their lessons learned kind of thing that they need to have. The issue is getting people willing to work with you. Number one, we're not a defense contractor. We're just an organization composed of a whole bunch of citizens. Many of us do work in the DOD or something and have clearances. But at the same time, you know, until we can have that conversation, we really can't go into a whole lot of details with them. Or we can talk about the history. Certainly we can give them an executive summary and say, well, read this book or read that book or do this, and that'll give you an update on it. But the problem is that people have short attention spans. This is not a national priority. I would say that the economy and you know, Ukraine and a whole bunch, the pandemic and everything else trumps a lot of that attention. And the DOD is fighting wars and battles and you know, providing, you know, combat weapons and things like that to other countries, and that's where their attention is. So the UAP is low on the totem pole, and it's not going to get the traction that a lot of other things that are in place are.
You raise one thing there, which I wanted to just ask you about briefly. You don't have to spend time on it, but it's the subject that just keeps on giving. The R word, Roswell. What's your take on it?
I'm of the opinion, basically, just, you know, in my, you know, I didn't investigate it. I'm like everybody else, subject to the fact that I'm trying to read and keep up and try to sort out what's going on. What I do find rather interesting is that, number one, that allegedly you have an intelligence officer who goes out and says this is material like I've never seen before anywhere. It does things that, it bends, it's light material, it's all this other stuff. And clearly it would know what a weather balloon looked like, and it certainly the material debris across the field was way more than the next alleged explanation for it being, a Mogul balloon. And so nothing like that from the Air Force ever matches up with anything being accurate. At the same time, you know, you're also dealing with, again, witnesses that are trying to remember back how many years, from 1980 back to 1947. There are some of them that Marcel, who did record what he said he saw, and he's a firsthand source. So it's always good to go to firsthand sources. I think that from the way that the events have been described and the fact that there was like follow-on collection of material over a period of time, to me, it's like way beyond it being a crash of something that we would have known about. Like, I don't think it's an experiment gone awry, and that you wouldn't have had the level of activity that people describe. I don't think that they were parachute dummies, you know, and I don't think that it was anything like the Air Force would like us to believe. I think that the fact that they came up with an extremely quick cover story for it was, for them to not alert the other countries around the world who are already infiltrated our military with, spies and everything else. They would have been all over that. So there was a need to be able to shut it up, and Raimi did a good job with that. You don't fly debris from, that you know about, necessarily go and send it up to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and take it over to FTD. Either, unless it was, you might say that, well, okay, maybe it was from some other country and it was like something that crashed. Yeah, you go over and you take it to them and they would re-engineer it. But everything in terms of the follow-up in the right pad area indicated that it was rather, as a foreign material. It was really strange. You had the June Carter incident. I believe that the story is legit. I don't know where the object in terms of what, happened to it, other than the fact that it was collected, allegedly taking the right path. I do believe that it was there. I don't know about, the validity of all the different stories about, the beings were taken maybe to somewhere else. I don't know. It's always doing that paper chase because somebody's going to say this, and then you find out if you do a lot of paper digging that that's not necessarily the case. Do I believe that Corso had all this stuff in a box up at the Pentagon? No. Do I believe that some of the material that was collected could have been passed over to Battelle? Yes, because Battelle had a relationship with Wright-Patt. And Battelle, interestingly enough, on the Shake Memory Alloy, the one that is bendable and everything metal, would have then taken it up to other players to also do research. And they're the ones that came up in 1960 with talking about that kind of material. So I think that ultimately, it's difficult for us to do the paper trail. It's difficult for us to do the material trail. I do think that there was something legitimately that happened out in Roswell, and it was an event that we just can't explain, and it will probably remain that. But it's also heaped in mystery and mythologies and everything else that come out of a lot of these like cases.
But if we had captured some kind of unknown technology and brought it back to wherever, Hangar 18, Wright-Patterson, doesn't matter where you took it, it'd be something physical that people could look at and say, now we're 75 years later, this is what it is.
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
If I give you, let's say I take my car and I crash my car on the highway, and I gave you just one little section of the material, whatever that was, and it's hypothetically some sort of advanced craft, do you know what the function of that thing is? Do you know what the material actually did when it was on the craft? Do you know where it was and what part that it played in the whole thing? And the answer is largely no. You know, I mean, so would we have immediate answers? Would we be able to go out and build a craft that we could do the same thing? No. You'd have to have the whole craft in order to figure that out. And we don't know that necessarily the whole craft was there. It was in parts and pieces, right?
One thing about Roswell is, and some people have forgotten this, and they need to take another look. So the government's involved in UFOs again. A lot of people forget that the Air Force got dragged into the business, and we were talking about the Clinton administration earlier. It was in those days, and they gave another look at Roswell. And you mentioned the dummies, the parachute dummies, and that's where that came in. That was part of the explanation. So people had hoped that there would be this huge disclosure about what had happened at Roswell, and there was a huge report, but it was all negative. And I think that's one of the most reviled reports that's ever come out of things. So let's hope that let's not put all our hopes on the government in providing the answers here.
Exactly. And so isn't it interesting that when Congressman Schiff tried to go and get the records out of Roswell, that they couldn't locate any records at all from that base? And let me tell you, I mean, the military is big about collecting the records and stuff like that and, you know, putting them in documents. The records from Roswell, you can't find that base, the one that you used the Enola Gay on. You can't, you know, that's just unheard of. So why would they have, did they classify these things way beyond what they should have been classified? Are they sitting next to the Ark in some sort of, a big warehouse? You know, I mean, you get what I'm saying. It's just, isn't that amazing?
Warehouse 13, there it is. We found the Roswell ship. It's Warehouse 13, along with the Ark of the Covenant. Rich, Gene, and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.